Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Good evening and welcome to the show. I'm glad you chose to join us tonight. Tonight our topic is finding grace. I didn't know she was lost. Finding grace. When we look for the notion of grace, how are we going to find it? What value does grace have to offer us? Where is this grace to be found? You know, when you go looking for something, knowing what you're looking for would be a real helpful aspect about discerning whether what you're looking at is close to or the actual thing that you're looking for. The idea of tonight's show, Finding Grace, is there's a couple of faces to it, really. If you look at the history of humanity on this planet for eons, for thousands of years, there has been such immense personal struggle and collective struggle. There's been war, famine, exploitation, slavery, bondage. And that list could go on for quite a while in the sense of human struggle and human suffering. When we talk about finding grace, we're kind of talking about the other side of the pendulum. There is no grace to war. There is no grace to struggle. Grace by itself is very eloquent. It's very elegant in its expression. So if we look at what grace is as far as a individual level, there is this you listening to the show now, and if you were to find grace and order it and have it delivered when the box comes, when the package comes, and you open up this grace, what's the difference? What changes when you don, when you put on, when you embody this idea of grace? Well, let's start with that fundamental viewpoint. What is grace? I like the idea of flow without struggle. Transformation without pain, by the grace of God, by the grace of God. If we look at grace as awake, like the wake of a boat, if I look at the idea of a boat going through water, and I'm standing in the back of the boat, and I'm looking out the back at the wake that the boat has made. How graceful, how much grace there is with the boat going through the water will decide the wake it leaves in the water. So perhaps I have an absolutely lousy idea of a boat, maybe a dumpster or some convoluted object that has no aerodynamics. It's square. It doesn't sit well in the water. And when I go to push that through the water and I look at the wake that it leaves, I'm going to have a lot of turbulence. And then I can look at the design of a hole and go from the square shape of a dumpster and get a little bit more graceful and trim the corners and clean up the aerodynamics or hydrodynamics of the hull of the boat, and I apply motivation to it, the wake will change. And if I've improved the shape of the boat, the wake that it leaves, the gracefulness of the wake that it leaves becomes more eloquent. So if we go back to that definition that we just mentioned, flow without struggle, or transformation without stress, without distortion. When we look at the idea of grace, we can take that boat analogy and take it a little bit farther. I saw a video on YouTube of some of the racing boats they had. They were actually sailboats. They had hydrofoils. And once the boat started moving, the bigger hull of the boat would move out of the water. And the boat would move very fast through the water and leave hardly a wake at all. In this case, it would be a very graceful transformation, a very graceful flow through the water. So here we are in our human experience, and you're listening to the show because something caught your eye about it, and you find yourself contemplating your own life. If you look at how you live your life now, how do you feel about your life now? What kind of experience do you have about your life now that would give you a snapshot, an idea, an imprint of how graceful you're moving through life? I find the passing of time very curious. It's like this seemingly rigid propagation through time and space. We're all at some point in a day, these things called days that keep passing by us, and here we are, you're listening to this program on this particular day, whatever day that is, and you're having an experience of your life. So if you were to go to the back of yourself, so to speak, just like the back of a boat, and you were to look at your life, today, yesterday, the day before, and you were to inventory or take note of how you felt, how you experienced passing time, going through these days of your life, how would you describe the ups and downs? What would the best up look like, and what would the worst down look like? If you were to take the time and sit down and just jot this down on a page of paper, if the ups and the downs category were out of balance, and say you had a lot more difficult time and the downs were the vast majority, plenty of people pissed you off, you were offended by various events that happened in your life today or yesterday, in the very near past. Or perhaps the two columns are out of balance in the sense that the positive, the ups, overwhelmingly outnumbered the downs, where you are very grateful, you are very accepting and appreciative of this experience called life. just to noodle the difference between those two examples, being in constant struggle, in constant resistance, in constant, being constantly offended by the nature of life, would denote the negative side, or the majority of your experiences being on the downswing of this thing called grace. And on the flip side of that, an extremely positive and grateful perspective, attitude, viewpoint. This kind of gives you an idea of what grace might look like in a personal life, in a personal experience. This thing called you listening to the radio now. Who is this you that's listening? And what is this thing called grace? And where are we going to find this thing? Maybe it's something that we're going to find in our own truth, the truth of who we are. The truth will set us free. The truth of us has an awful lot to offer us. If you've been listening to the show before, you understand the perspective of infinite potential, infinite possibilities. We've talked many times on this show about human consciousness. You are a point of presence, an eternal point of presence of human consciousness. And really, really, there's not much you can do about that. This consciousness that you're spending right now, the conscious awareness that's allowing you to interpret the sentences that you're hearing right now, that consciousness transcends who you think you are now. Your consciousness is a gift that keeps on giving. What a present. It doesn't have to be recharged, although your energy level can go up and down. Your consciousness is an eternal point of presence of who you are. You can say, well, wait a minute, I can die. I can commit suicide. I can have a tragic accident and pass away. Well, there's been countless examples of near-death experiences of people who have died, and they share the experience of observing their dead body on an operating room table or at the scene of an accident. And oftentimes they're told, nah, this is too soon. You're not done with this life yet. Go back. And they go back into their body. This whole experience is consciousness. Experiencing the story. So right now you're a point of presence of human consciousness. And the truth of that is you can't turn that off. You can't. It's not your call whether you have it or not, because you have it. Your ego cannot destroy who you are. It can sure mess up your storyline and load yourself up heavy with karma and create pretty much a train wreck for a life story or a life path. But guess what? Through all of that, there was consciousness present as you to experience it all, be it heaven or be it hell. And why do I bring up this damn resilience of this consciousness? You try soaking, you try scrubbing, you drink the bottle of whiskey and you fall on the ground and consciousness follows you. It follows you. You can't do anything about it. In fact, the truth of you, that inner point of presence, that most authentic signature of who you are, is a timeless, eternal point of consciousness. So why am I talking about consciousness and its resilience if we're the topic of the show is to talk about grace. I mean, come on now. Grace, grace, grace. Are we off track that far to be talking about who you really are? Well, you know, I don't think so. I'm not thinking that who you really are, this point of presence, this eternal point of presence of human consciousness, I think to truly understand that is to come closer to grace. Well, your ego might not agree with that. Your ego has these beliefs, these structured patterns, these mental belief systems that get triggered when they hear sentences like you're infinitely powerful, you're God incarnate, you have no limitations at all, you are innocent now and forevermore. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Those are very powerful sentences. And oftentimes the identity of the ego says, I don't know, that might be the truth of me, but I'm sure not feeling that way right now. And here we are back at that idea of the experience of consciousness as we propagate time. Boy, I sure don't really feel powerful because of these damn attributes in my life that I can't seem to nullify or resolve or become free of. So why is it that knowing who we really are, and I mean organically, I mean genuinely organically believing it, knowing it, experiencing it, this eternal presence within you. Because when you let go of the disbelief of that, it can't be me that's powerful. It can't be me that's lovable. It can't be me that's eternal. It can't be me. It can't be me, this point of presence, this me presence can't be God incarnate. Time out. Until we can truly understand that truth and have our ego understand it with a sense of confidence, with a genuine sense of knowingness through experience, then we're thinking of ourselves as less than, as a subset of the truth, as a distortion of the truth. But I suggest to you that if you take the time and noodle the idea of the truth of this point of presence that is you now, this tireless, eternal, ever conscious point of presence that is you now, you can come to the understanding, the knowing of the truth of who you are. Now, that doesn't mean you can't mess up your life, that you don't stub your toe, that you can't get a speeding ticket or some kind of miraculous escape of the natural ebb and flow of being a human here on this beautiful planet Earth. But knowing the truth of you, that no matter what happens to me now, no matter how this paradigm plays out, I'll be here. I'll be here in my totality. I'll be here perfect, whole, and complete. So no matter what paradigm plays out collectively or individually in your life, the truth of you is you're a soul having a human experience here on planet Earth. And I suggest to you that if that is indeed the case, there's an immense amount of peace in knowing that truth. Peace in your heart. peace in your mind, peace in your ego. Is it possible for the ego to genuinely experience peace? Yep, I think so. So when we talk about finding grace, we could rephrase that in saying finding your truth, knowing your truth, embodying your truth. Well, how do we do that? How do we find our truth? Well, to unravel the story, the paradigm, the beliefs, the thoughts, and feelings that are incongruent with our truth, and we have forever to do this. How long do you want it to take? To unravel the past of all those things that we've been told by our family of origin, by religion, by the establishment, by the school system, by our peers, by Wall Street, by the media, by the fashion industry. If we unravel those aspects of ourself that we've embodied, that we've taken on as beliefs, thoughts, and feelings from our past, then we're actually getting closer to our truth. We're actually getting closer to a genuine sense of peace in our own being. Well, you know, for some of us, we've been souls incarnating for a long time. There's many old souls on this planet, and our past might be a real collective collage of thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. This might be an ongoing task, if you will. Can we find grace before we reach the destiny? Can we find grace in the turmoil? Can we find grace in the karma that we're living in today? I think we can. Because no matter what level of karma, what level of chaos, what level of struggle that we're experiencing in our own relationships and in our relationship to the collective, the truth is still available to set us free now. So often in our culture, we have this idea of the finish line. Why are you going to school to get my degree? Well, is that happening today? Well, no, that'll happen in the future. So I'm going to school now for an event in the future. So I won't be successful until then, till later. Or how many religions say, well, you're not quite God yet, and maybe in the future God will or will not find favor in you, and once she decides, then you'll be pranged with a sense of truth, and that truth doesn't exist now. You know, those kinds of thoughts and feelings can disconnect us from the truth of who we are now. I suggest to you, if you're immortal, you're immortal now. Not in the sense of your physical body, but this infinitely present human consciousness. This thread of human experience personified as you. We're moving through this temporal space day in and day out. There'll be another day tomorrow. And at any time of the day tomorrow, you can go, huh? Here I am. Here I, what is this I? What is this consciousness I that I am? And every single day of your life, you have the opportunity to recognize the consciousness that's affording you the coherent awareness of you experiencing life, be it heaven or hell. Huh. There's a lot to be gained by noodling that. There's a lot to be gained by embodying that. When you think of unraveling your past, when you think about cleaning out your karma, when you think about embodying your truth, it's a journey. all the sages, all the deities, all the spiritual experts, Jesus, Buddha, these types of personas, they none of them went around and touched another human being and they burst into a ball of light and embodied the totality of their truth. I was in the Tower of London, which from my perspective is a castle and a castle and a castle. And the farther in you go, the farther back in time you go. I was in the innermost castle in the Tower of London, and I'm going down the stairwell, and there's this stained glass picture. And it was this deity. I didn't recognize it from any of my mythology or upbringing or religious structure. And he's flying through the air, and his head's glowing, and his hand's stuck out, and his hand is glowing white. White light. There's all these pictures of spiritual masters of the past with an aura of light around their head. Yet Buddha and Jesus and all the other very accomplished spiritual teachers of the past didn't walk around and praying the masses and they all start glowing white with light. So, I mean, why is that? If these powerful beings that are embodying light themselves, sure, there's many stories of healing the sick, of being a very powerful point of presence in the collective consciousness. The point I'm getting at here is there's no leapfrogging in human consciousness. Let's use another metaphor for that, the school system. So you're a kindergarten kid, you're sitting in at your desk and you got some crayons there and some of that glue that seems to stick to everything, and you're just barely learning the beginning mechanics of math. And let's fast forward a decade or two, and you're getting your PhD. So here we have two different paradigms. Here's a child in kindergarten, and here's an adult getting a PhD. Tell me, is there any value at all in having some deity come up to the kindergarten kid and going poof, and now the kindergarten kid has a PhD? There's not really, because there's no value in leapfrogging the steps of the journey itself, because it's the journey itself that turns you into who you are in a sense of revealing your truth or hiding your truth. Revealing your truth or hiding your truth. The Father and I are one. The kingdom of heaven is within. Do not be afraid, for I am with you as you. So here we are at this point of our collective journey. And for so many of us, we're totally enthralled in our ego, in our ego sense of self. Well, I am, insert your name here, I am Les Jensen, and I have been on the planet many decades, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm whatever. That's my ego. That's my ego idea of who I am. There's not going to be any deity that comes up to me and prangs me and erases the rest of my journey to the light. Because the journey is the reason, the purpose, the canvas of human expression on this planet Earth. This temporal journey, this clicking of time, this day in and day out, is the canvas of the change itself. We watch that kindergarten kid and, wait a minute, he's learning addition now, and, well, crap, they moved on to subtraction, and here comes multiplication and division. That is the incrementing. That is the raising the vibration of that personal consciousness towards the vibration of PhD. So here you are now. You're a soul. You've incarnated. You've been on this planet a long time. You're knocking out the days left and right. And you still have some issues and whatever your particular karmic paradigm is, and there's some unresolved past and some belief systems that aren't quite fully aligned with the truth. But no matter what your story, no matter what your karma, no matter what your paradigm, the truth has never left you. It's only your perception of the truth. It's only your perception of who you are that got distorted, that got wakes in it, that got ripples, that got waves. The truth of you exists now and forever, but it's to be able to embody the truth that is the journey home. It's to be able to know the truth, experience the truth, personify the truth, to embody the light, enlightenment, to embody the light as the journey itself. We're here for the human experience. It's who we are as, while we have these physical bodies, that is the reason of this human experience, the reason of the canvas of time, the reason of this three-dimensional expression, this holodeck of possibilities personified. To find grace in who you are now, regardless of where you are in the journey, is to better understand the truth of who you are. To better know the truth of who you are. And a good step towards that is accepting what is. The darkness, the shadow, the mask, the karma that we've donned ourselves with individually and collectively, the pain body of war, the desperation of fatigue from famine and drought and starvation, and just look at our past, pick them all. Those experiences have brought such a heavy weight on our heart as egos, as the personification of egos experiencing death or close to death or being fearful of this thing called death. But in truth, no souls have ever died on this planet. It's only the human personification of those souls that have died. The truth of you cannot be erased. You are a point of presence of this hologram, this vast hologram of consciousness, human consciousness personified. So to accept that your soul has chosen this journey of many lifetimes to come down on this planet and willingly embody the shadow, to willingly embody the darkness, the mask, to lose sight of the truth, to disconnect from the divine within us through countless wars, through countless struggles has created an energetic imprint, an energetic blueprint of your karmic journey. Yet, through all that pain, through all that suffering, from all that disconnect, the darkness, the scariness of the shadow, the scariness of losing it all, is the truth that you are a soul that has chosen this storyline. The truth of the idea that your soul understood the nature of the shadow and still chose to go into it. This is a hardcore planet when it comes to karmic lessons. I suggest to you, planet Earth is the most advanced class you can have in darkness, perhaps in the entire universe. If you look at the storyline of humanity, we have gone up to the edge of death itself collectively. The collective ego has built a mechanism of mass destruction and built a vehicle to accomplish it. Endless wars, nuclear weapons, hand-to-hand combat, eyeball to eyeball pain. That imprint has pushed us deep into the darkness. But the truth of us is, we are a soul, we are a point of truth that chose to go into forgetting, that chose to go into disconnect, that chose to lose sight of who we really were so we could fully embody the idea of an ego, complete separation, and be afraid, and be overwhelmed by the possibility of what tomorrow brings, to be overwhelmed by the idea of what might go wrong, and to personify that day in and day out for generations. So here we are now, living our lives. You're listening to this show, and we're talking about finding grace. The 13th century poet Rumi said, "Both light and shadow are the dance of love." And he also mentioned the idea of the profane becoming sacred yet again. The profanity of pain, of war, of Holocaust, of immense darkness, the profane distortion, the profane wake of humanity as we create turmoil, as we churn up the water, as we create a wake from our own consciousness that is pain itself. When the profane becomes sacred again, when the darkness, when the shadow becomes sacred again. There's the idea of going into darkness to understand what the light is. There's the idea of disconnecting from the truth, so you can know what the truth is. And here we are on a planet with 7 billion people, give or take. Well, some more just showed up and some more just left. And for the most part, the collective have entrenched themselves in their egos and they're playing out their lives. And here you are listening to this program, your soul, your point of presence, responding to the idea of grace, responding to the idea of truth, responding to the idea of an underlying perception an underlying knowingness of the truth of who you are. Could you be that powerful? Could it be you that could embody that truth? And the truth is, time's flying by. I'm looking at the clock and it's like, oh, that's right. That temporal pacing thing is happening. But there's some good material here, and I'm going to wrap it up in as graceful as way, as graceful, I like that, as way as possible. So who are you? Who are you to know the truth of who you are? Who are you to allow your ego to connect with your soul, to allow your ego to become aware of this point of presence of consciousness that is the fuel that runs your ego? Without consciousness, there is no ego. Ego needs a fuel to exist, and that fuel is consciousness. So for you to understand the idea, the notion of what grace can be in this experience now, in your experience now, no matter what your day in and day out experience looks like, there's that underlying truth that's available today. I always like the idea of the only day you'll ever experience heaven is today. So heaven on earth can be experienced today. It's not a time in the future, because when the future comes, it'll be today that you're experiencing it. So trust the temporal pacing. What do I mean by that? Trust the temporal pacing. Well, do you glow in the dark? Do your hands glow? Do people paint you with glowing auras around your head? Is there more of the light of the truth of you to be discovered by yourself? Sure. But it's a discovery. It's not a creation. In other words, the truth of you exists now. The light of you exists now. For you are the light personified. Your soul is timeless. So allow yourself this temporal pacing. Did you reach the finish line today? Well, the finish line is this idea that it exists in the future. The finish line suggests that you are not it now. Did you embody it today? Did you see it today? Did you feel it today? Did you know it today? So engage the truth where you are. All along the journey, the truth exists within you. The kingdom of heaven is within. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Engage the truth where you are now, in a sense of knowingness. No matter if you get today right or wrong, whichever one that is, or whichever perspective generates that judgment, no matter what your day looked like, trust that you're on your journey. Trust that there's only one outcome. Sure, you can turn the wheel around and go back into the darkness. You can load yourself up with karma. You can order more train wrecks, and you can write the script any way you want. But know that no matter how you write the script, the actor behind this persona, this you, this point of presence, this point of consciousness, this actor, actress, that is you now, is the truth. So I suggest look at your life with virgin eyes. What we didn't get into in this program, I'm going to just touch on it, is climbing the ladder of human consciousness. If you were to fully embody your truth, if you were that glow-in-the-dark saint, your eyes would see nothing but grace when the profane becomes sacred. Karma is an extremely graceful principle. The farther you move away from the light, the farther down the ladder you go in human consciousness, the lower the vibration of your personal energy persona is the immersion of pain, the immersion of separation, the immersion of illusion and delusion. To climb the ladder, to unravel your past, to accept what is, to more fully embody the truth is to climb the ladder, is to raise the perception of your perspective out of the ego and into the soul, out of the ego and into the creator, out of separation and into reunion, the communion of the one. The Father and I are one. You and I are one. You're a point of presence in this hologram, and so am I. I'm on this side of the microphone, and you're on that side of the microphone. But it makes no never mind, we're both human consciousness personified. So how did you experience today? How did you experience your life lessons? How would you journal about what your karma feels like as an experience? Because every attribute, every trait, every asset that defines you, that makes you, you, is a temporal expression. There was a moment it wasn't there, it is here now, and there'll be a moment it'll be gone again. Because when you know the truth of you, the absolute truth of you, there is no bias or judgment at all. Maybe this is a good place to talk about unconditional love. I'm skimming over some of this stuff. But I'm being graceful as my sentencing allows. It's always my intent to be as effective as I can to help you understand the truth of who you are. I can't give you anything to make you more complete. I can't give you any more of your truth. You're already it. There's nothing that I have that you need. All I can do is bring a perspective, bring a observation, share my experience, put my own language to it, that you may develop your own language, your own beliefs, your own thoughts, your own feelings. Please be authentic to yourself. Please own every single one of your beliefs. Please own your life, your perception, your perspective, your choices. You don't have to do anything. The universe isn't biased. It fully allows every choice. That's what allows the darkness to happen. Unconditional love says, well, of course you can. Unconditional love says, I'll see you on the other side of the shadow. Because it's in the shadow we lose sight of love. It's in the shadow that we get disconnected from love. But the truth of you, and I suggest, the fabric of the universe itself is love. But love on a scale that is not comprehensible by the ego. as close as we can get is psychosis from stating the totality of what love is. I think that's why people slip into poetry to try to get a glimpse of it, to try to point a vector to reveal a truth of something that is bigger than our minds can comprehend. You know, when your heart opens up and you polish that mirror inside of you, you polish that inner light, the lens in which the light of you shines. Maybe it got clouded by karma. When you polish that lens, when you contemplate the nature of love, when you give yourself unconditional compassion and forgiveness, there's an ocean of peace inside of you. It's kind of a vast emptiness where there's no thought. That point of presence, that point of presence that is the eternal you, can accommodate any thought, feeling, or belief. It can accommodate any rung on the ladder of human consciousness. It can don every experience from heaven to hell. The truth of you, in the simplest sense, is light, but light embodies all possibilities. If I go to a projector at a movie house and I screw in the lamp and turn that sucker on, bright white light emanates from that lamp. And I don't have a story on the screen yet because I have to come along with duality. I have to come along with substance. I have to come along with sense of self. As I put the film in the gate of the projector, and a frame lands square in the gate, and the light is cast upon it, the color, the shadow, the experience of that frame is cast out onto the canvas of the screen. Within you is the point of presence of all consciousness, light. And what you're casting out on your screen right now today is your karma, is your beliefs, your thoughts, your feelings. And with such eloquent grace, over and over and over again in this infinite now, you experience your story. You experience your journey. And how graceful, how beautiful, no matter what story is playing out on the screen, what an eloquent canvas of experience. What an eloquent canvas of expression. Your body is the brush, your soul is the artist, and your life is the canvas of what you believe, of what you value, of what you are passionate about. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. How cool is that? And here you are now. So what's it going to be? What do you choose to believe about yourself? Are you less than? Or are you the thing itself? Does somebody else have a closer tie to the divine? Is that red phone in that office the hotline? Or is the Father within you now? I like what the burning bush said. I am that I am, damn it. No, wait, damn it. No, that's probably embellishment. I am that I am. No adjectives, no skewing, no right, no wrong. I am that I am. The light coming from the projector. There's an immense gift in this awareness. When you understand the truth of who you are and you give yourself permission to show up as a king in your own kingdom, yes, indeed, it is you that is personifying the truth of all of humanity, the truth of all possibilities. Time does not skew the truth. You are the truth now. And when you really get that, when you understand that, there's a deep reverence, excitement, jubilance about what's truly possible for your life. When you can accept where you are in the journey, when you can allow for the temporal pacing of the incremental growth of who you are, from kindergarten to PhD doesn't happen instantaneously. The grace of knowing that this part of the journey is a critical part of the journey, because without it, your journey would not be complete, allows you to accept today for what it is, allows you to accept your karma for what it is, your story, your beliefs and values, whatever they are. Give yourself permission to be the creator. Give yourself permission to have virgin eyes, to look at that projector of possibilities and dream up an idea of what heaven would look like here on earth. What would that frame in the projector look like? What would the components be? What would the elements be? Perhaps a deep understanding of the truth, an unwavering knowingness. An unwavering knowingness of what the truth is and the deep, immense peace that truth can bring. I suggest if you can live that perspective, you can go through the transformation of your journey in grace today. Not only will you have found grace, you will see it for what it is, the truth revealed. In truth, the choice is always yours. You've shown up for yourself. You're listening to this now. You've chosen an opportunity to contemplate a bigger idea, a bigger story of who you are. And that choice has brought you closer to the truth. My truth is, when I cracked my heart open, it showed me a vision of my life that made my ego's jaw drop. And I intend to fulfill it as gracefully and genuinely authentic as I can. I'm your host, Les Jensen. It's my good pleasure to contemplate the nature of the truth of who you are today and every day. Thank you for showing up for yourself. If you want more opportunities to understand yourself at a deeper level, go to New Human Living before your morning commute and dial up an episode of this radio show and listen to it on the way to work or when you have a plane to catch. Show up for yourself, grow yourself, love yourself. For you are the thing itself. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.